You're listening to Agriculture Today.
Well, we want to get the beef prices down, so we'll get them down a little bit. And that's what people want, that's what the voters want, and that's what I want. The ranchers are great. They're my people. I love the ranchers. They've done a fantastic job. But they admit that we need a little help and in order to get the prices down. So that's what we're doing.
President Trump addressing reporters on Friday.
I don't want to say which countries, but there are a few countries. But they're going to be sending in the highest quality beef, and it's something that we need.
But do we need trade agreements? The renegotiation of the USMCA, what's happening?
I've dealt with the prime minister. I've got a good relationship. And, yeah, we have to take care of our farmers. The farmers are very important to me. And the deal with Canada is moving along, and we should be able to have a deal with Canada. We're also starting on a new deal with Mexico. A much better deal for the United States. I only make good deals. Much better deal for the United States, both with Canada and Mexico.
And when it comes to Mexico, having that border closed for an extended amount of time for Mexican feeders, putting pressure on the U.S. cattle feeding industry. USDA's cattle on feed totaling 11.1 million head as of August 1st. That's up 2% from a year earlier, even as July placements fell to their lowest level for the month since USDA records began back in 1996. July placements, 1.42 million head, down 11% from last year. Marketing's also down 7%, 1.62 million head, the lowest July total since the series began. Texas remains largest feeding state, 2.51 million head, up 1% from last year. Nebraska, 2.47 million, up 3%. And Kansas, third at 2.26 million, unchanged from a year earlier. Ranking of the three largest feeding states did not change. They account roughly for two-thirds of the cattle reported in larger U.S. feedlots. Well, dry conditions have helped get us here to the tightest herd in years. And the same dry conditions now pushing the Panama Canal to reduce daily vessel capacity. As below expected rainfall limits watershed supplies, it's raising the risk of longer shipping delays for commodities between U.S. ports and global markets. On September 3rd, Neo-Panamax capacity will fall to 9 daily slots, while Panamax capacity limited to 25. Panamax availability set to decline further to 23 slots beginning September 15th. What's this mean for ag? Well, fewer transits could complicate the movement of grain, fertilizer, and other bulk commodities if vessels arrive without reservations. Dry bulk carriers also compete in a revised auction system that covers several vessel categories. Canal said rainy season precipitation has remained below expectations despite some water-saving measures. However, planned reductions in maximum vessel draft have been postponed, allowing deeper draft Neo-Panamax vessels more time before additional restrictions take place. Officials continue to monitor Gatun Lake levels, rainfall, and watershed inflows. It's Agriculture Today.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
The Texas Corn Producers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit TexasCorn.org and become a member today.
Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
So we are very well connected with the industry. We are the only place you can get a four-year degree in milling science anywhere in the world, essentially, other than China. So when we talk about the milling industry, I always tell people who's out there. It's all K-Staters.
Paul Blodgett is Milling Operations Manager at Kansas State University.
If they have a research project or trying to advance something, who do they come back to? They come back to K-State, right? We're the knowledgeable, we're the experts in the field. So it's exciting, right? It's people that the people that want to come back and then do the research, these companies, right, is typically people that I've worked with in the past, whether it's former students, people I've worked for. We like to think of it. It's very close, tight knit, networking, in the flour milling or in the grain processing industry. One of our challenges is getting the student numbers up, right? As I said, we're kind of that closely guarded secret. Even a lot of people in Manhattan don't know that we have a flour mill. So, we're trying to get the word out. We have a lot of, we get a lot of good ag students, right, coming in. A lot of the rural students or kids, if you would call them that, right, learn about us typically through word of mouth or from a friend or something like that. And that's how they kind of get started down that milling path. I just hope the industry continues to advance, right? Compared to where we were 50 or 100 years ago, we are really advancing on the technology side. The mill, while we like to think of the mill as being new here at K-State, it was built in 2005, 2006, so it's now 20 years old. But we continue to advance the technology within the mill. Companies are very good about supporting our operations here, whether that's through donations of grain or equipment or different technology. So that technology continues to evolve with the help of the industry. The industry recognizes us as being the one to give them the answers that they need. So we have a color sorter or an optical sorter. So if we have some, let's say we have some wheat come in, maybe we have some heat damage or some darkened kernels, we need to separate. We separate out the chaff. We separate out all the dust, everything like that. But a piece of wheat that is damaged like that is very difficult to separate. The color sorter allows us to look at each kernel that we process and make a color determination, and we have the ability to reject those kernels out of the clean wheat stream. So very cool technology. It's used in a lot of other things, whether that's plastics, pharmaceuticals, things like that. But for the wheat industry, it's really exciting to be able to run the wheat through that before we process it. It's always exciting. For me, I spent a lot of years out in the industry. So it's exciting to see those students and work with them. And all of a sudden you can tell in their face, right? The light clicks on that, wow, I understand that now. Or I understand, you know, like we talked previously about the economies of scale and, you know, I have this responsibility, or how does this machine actually work, or anything like that, right? It's the teaching phase, it's the learning phase that really is exciting. We are part of the grain and food science department, and underneath that is milling, feed, and baking. So we have all three disciplines there, and food science. So we have all those disciplines there.
It's Agriculture Today.
This has been Scott Land Company in Dimmitt, Texas. We have literally sold thousands of acres of grassland in Texas, New Mexico, Colorado, and Oklahoma. Our inventory on ranches is as low as it has been in years. We really need listings on ranches of all sizes. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com. Give us a call at 800-933-9698.
Let's talk about logos. What's the value of a good mark? Well, when it comes to the seal of cotton, it's pretty big. Introduced in 1973, the seal of cotton trademark has planted itself in consumers' headspaces. In fact, 94% of consumers say the seal helps them easily identify cotton products. 85% say they associate the seal with softness, comfort, and durability. 40 years of cotton research and promotion really adds up. You grow the cotton? The Cotton Research Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
with Agriculture Today. Here's Tony St. James.
Our topic this week is beef demand.
Dr. Mark Johnson is Oklahoma State Beef Breeding Specialist, looking at consumer demand.
And it's interesting. We have been through a really good phase of the cattle cycle as we have experienced lower cow inventories, low calf supplies, lower inventory of cattle on feed. We're feeding those cattle longer to produce the tonnage that we want. There's been profitability across all sectors of the beef cattle business. And particularly, there's been higher retail prices of beef, whether we're in the grocery store or in restaurants. It leads a lot of us in this business to think about this question. At what point will consumers be reluctant to continue to purchase our product as it becomes more expensive? And so we've got ample consumer survey data over the last 5 years. We've got a meat demand monitor that we can take a look at, and we talk about that a little bit this week. The good news story that we have is if we take a look from March 2025 to March of 2026, we saw over a 19% increase in the value or price of beef at retail. During that same time, we saw increased consumer expenditures on beef, often at the expense of pork or chicken. During that time, consumers were actually purchasing more beef relative to inflation. If we look at the past 5 years, consumers are outpacing inflation as far as the amount of money that they will spend for beef. A quick example, a few years ago, that point of willingness to pay for ground beef at retail was a little over $7. Most recently, it's over $9 a pound that consumers are willing to pay for ground beef. A good news story there. Our demand continues to be resilient and very strong. That same consumer survey data tells us that over 85% of American consumers identify as regularly eating meat. If we just look in the state of Oklahoma, Oklahoma is one of the leading states as far as that percentage of consumers who actually declare themselves as meat eaters and regularly consuming beef or meat products. The amount of vegetarians that self-identify are down from 14% to 7% over the last few years. And if we take a look at GLP-1 users, they are less sensitive to the price of beef. We know some things like as household income increases, people are more willing to pay for beef. And for perspective, on average, right now, we work about 13 minutes to pay for 1 pound of beef at retail in this country. For comparison, we work about 100 days a year to pay our annual tax bill. That's including federal, state, and local income taxes. So, again, consumer demand for beef is strong and very resilient. A final thought relative to our supply of beef, we know that over the last few years, due to a lot of factors, that we are seeing a higher percentage of our weekly harvest mixed grade prime, we are producing a better quality product than we ever have before. Even though inventories are low, there is a better mix of higher quality beef available in the marketplace. It is apparent consumers are more able to try this product, more able to find this product, and they're willing to pay for it for the eating satisfaction that comes from the product. And if we look back at that consumer survey data, eating satisfaction and great taste, as well as health and dietary concerns, are two primary drivers.
Again, Dr. Mark Johnson, Oklahoma State Beef Breeding Specialist. It's Agriculture Today.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688. There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
On demanding job sites, you need equipment that works as hard as your crew. The Wiley Express water wagon is built for construction, industrial, and municipal use, delivering dependable water application for dust abatement, fire protection, and fresh water supply. The Express water wagon helps keep your operations safe, compliant, and productive. The Wiley Express water wagon, built for the toughest jobs on the ground. Trust Wiley Sprayers, proudly built in Texas. Visit us online at WileySprayers.com.
You're listening to Agriculture Today.
And it's been a problem for 35 years. And what we have now that we've never had before, we had a pretty good piece of it in my first term, as you know, is we have tremendous growth. And the way you take care of debt is with growth. And we have tremendous growth. We've never had growth like we have right now. The growth will take care of that very easily.
President Trump talking to reporters about the nation's debt. On another front, though, Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent.
Today, at President Trump's direction, the United States Treasury has begun Operation Economic Outcast, an unprecedented campaign against the Islamic Republic of Iran and its enablers.
What's the purpose behind this, and what are the details?
Iran's fanatics devote themselves to death to America and seek nuclear weapons to do just that. They have murdered and maimed more of our citizens and service members than any other terrorist regime on earth. And they have been at war against America, their neighbors in the Gulf, and much of the world for 47 years. President Trump has taken action that his predecessors have long deferred. And under his leadership, America is no longer managing the Iranian threat. We are ending it.
Bessent also says it's not just a threat.
This is a sustained campaign to collapse every last option for Iran. Let there be no ambiguity as to the position of the United States. An economic engagement of any kind with this murderous regime will expose those responsible to the full reach of American power. For decades, this regime has drawn strength from a calculus that regards Iranian retaliation as certain and American enforcement as negotiable. Under President Trump, that era is over. To the ordinary soldiers supporting this regime, as more and more of your paychecks stop or are supposedly just delayed, ask whether your commanders are leading your country to triumph or to ruin. And recall that the Berlin Wall fell when ordinary soldiers decided not to shoot at their own people. And to those who enable Tehran, do not discount the cost of testing Washington's resolve. No nation should expect to enjoy the rewards of our system while helping those who seek to destroy it. It is now a time for world leaders to make a decision between prosperity and isolation, peace and terror, America and Iran. The campaign we begin today will gather force with every day that follows, and it will not end until this regime stands alone.
When asked why not just do it full force right from the beginning,
we are giving everyone the opportunity to remedy bad behavior. Why would I want to blow up the global financial system? We believe that it is important to level set and give people a cure period, but they should know that that will move very quickly and that we are serious. Secondary sanctions are a very powerful tool. And we here at Treasury, this is Gene Lang, the acting undersecretary for terrorism finance. And in the terrorism finance department and at OFAC, the reason we are able to use secondary sanctions is because we do not take their use lightly. So we believe that a warning shot and a level set of expectations is appropriate. And if people do not want to meet our expectations, then we expect, and they should expect, that they should will leave the dollar system.
It's Agriculture Today.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
Success is attained by those who approach problems with a plan and a purpose. As an advocate for High Plains cotton growers since 1956, Plains Cotton Growers has been tackling the tough issues facing cotton growers through beneficial legislative and regulatory changes. An important part of PCG's success is through close working relationships with congressional representatives and federal regulatory staff, allowing cotton growers more time to devote to farming operations. From the halls of Congress to the dusty turnroads of the High Plains, cotton producers depend on Plains Cotton Growers.
Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
One of the number one rules that I always try to tell people to practice is that, you know, we should never have people that approach that drive over pile or that bunker while we're filling that. So they shouldn't be on foot. We want to prevent as much of that as possible.
We're talking silage safety. Justin Wagner, Kansas State beef cattle specialist.
However, we know sometimes we do have to enter into those areas. And if we do, we need to get on the radio, use those communication devices, inform the drivers and operators that, hey, we've got someone that's going to be coming into the area. It's also a good idea to wear that high visibility clothing, whether that's a vest or that's, you know, the shirts that are out there today. And really, ideally, we want to make contact. If we've got a tractor operator on a pile, we've got to approach that area. We really shouldn't go into that area until we've made eye contact with that person that's operating it. Yes, we can get on the radio, but it's always better if I've got my high vis on, I can see that person, we've made eye contact, they know I'm going to approach that area. Another aspect as we think about filling, you know, just bunkers and how to keep it safe, there are fewer silage bunkers out there today. I think drive over piles has become more common, but we really don't want to fill that silage over and above that bunker wall. Oftentimes it's tempting to do that, but that's really increases our risk of rolling over a pack tractor. Oftentimes the silage that we put in those elevated bunker walls, it's really fairly unstable. And so it doesn't pack very well. We just don't create very good feed. It also creates a risk because it's fairly unstable as well. The other thing we have to keep in mind is we are putting this equipment, you know, we're making a pile. So we've got a slope. How do we maintain an ideal grade of, you know, kind of 1 to 3 as we're going up the sides of those piles? I mean, tractors roll over. So we just need to be cognizant of that, you know, as we're harvesting silage and putting it in the bunker. And a big one that I think often happens, equipment breaks down. And where does it oftentimes break down? At the center of the activity. And so if we've got a piece of equipment, be it a truck, be it a pack tractor that has broken down or needs to be repaired, and it's oftentimes going to be at or near the edge of the pile where we've got a lot of activity, it's just a really good idea to try to remove that equipment as soon as possible from that area where we've got that increase in activity. We also oftentimes, if we're going to repair a tire or work on a piece of equipment, we're going to have people on foot. And so you can see very quickly where just ideally in a best case scenario, we'd like to just go ahead and move that equipment somewhere else that we don't have all that activity associated just around or near that drive over pile where we've got all that activity that's occurring. There's a host of rules that we oftentimes associate with silage. You know, one, we know silage can cave off of those piles, so we never want to have anyone approach the actual face of that pile. We want to keep a safe distance and operate with that. We also may want to consider placing some cones or some visual barriers around that silage pile that says, you know, hey, this is a silage area. There's increased risk here. Please don't enter this area. We also want to follow the buddy rule. That's a simple one. Many larger operations, it's not uncommon to have silage stored at another location and then being brought to a dairy or a feedlot today. And so just knowing where all those people are at, if they've gone to repair a piece of equipment that's at another location, you know, informing a supervisor or someone else that's on that team what to do. So yeah, certainly, you know, there are some risks associated with silage, but hopefully to kind of channel those words from Keith Bolson, our number one goal is to keep everybody safe and send them home to their family that evening.
It's Agriculture Today.
Let's talk about logos. What's the value of a good mark? Well, when it comes to the seal of cotton, it's pretty big. Introduced in 1973, the seal of cotton trademark has planted itself in consumers' headspaces. In fact, 94% of consumers say the seal helps them easily identify cotton products. 85% say they associate the seal with softness, comfort, and durability. 40 years of cotton research and promotion really adds up. You grow the cotton? The Cotton Research Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
This has been Scott Land Company in Dimmitt, Texas. We have literally sold thousands of acres of grassland in Texas, New Mexico, Colorado, and Oklahoma. Our inventory on ranches is as low as it has been in years. We really need listings on ranches of all sizes. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com. Give us a call at 800-933-9698.
With Agriculture Today, here's Tony St. James.
It is our bigger markets that are usually, you know, they're stepping in.
Iowa State economist Dr. Chad Hart.
Japan, South Korea, Colombia is one that I know I've highlighted over the past year, that there's a market that is relatively new to the scene when you're looking at our big markets, but they have been really consistent in buying corn for the past few years. So we are seeing those international sales really starting to heat up here as we prepare for harvest. And that's usually what happens, because if you think about it, when do we tend to see our lowest prices in the market? It's right around harvest. And that tends to bring in a lot of international, let's call it consideration of U.S. crops, because they're looking for those good pricing opportunities to capture our commodities. So as we're looking at where the markets currently stand, we did see a, let's call it a very positive push right after a report. We saw some profit taking the day after, but when it all sort of settles out, we're still looking at what I call the slope of hope when we're looking at both commodities right now. Futures prices that are looking to build higher as we look further and further out. Now, in this case, the green bars were the futures market prices as of August 13th. And you can see there that we're talking about December corn weighing in just over $4.70 a bushel. And when I take an average basis off these futures, it indicates a national average cash price of around $4.70 a bushel, which would still be 20 cents above USDA's new estimate for that season average price. So we're still seeing a little bit of a boost here from the market, due to, one, these wars that are still going on, two, concerns that weather can continue to wear down on those yields, and I think three in this case is that continued demand, you know, usage growth as we're looking at exports, because as we look at livestock feed and ethanol, those remain strong and steady, so that exports is really what's helping us chew through what have been some record crops over the last few years. When we're looking at the soybean market, we have a, let's call it a smaller slope of hope, but it is there as well. And especially as we look out there, it's nice to see some 12s on the board when we're looking at prices there. Now, as far as a market estimate of that season average price, it's weighing in at around $11.50 a bushel, so about a dime over what USDA is currently projecting. And I think it's, you know, being supported by some of those same things that corn is. We're looking at the wars are still out there and impacting prices. We're looking at weather conditions could still pull down yields and, you know, mean smaller supplies. That tends to lead to higher prices. But it's also this idea that usage is continuing to be very strong. And if we can get both biofuel demand going at the same time that China's stepping into the market, it does bode really well for soybean prices. And so this year has been incredibly volatile in terms of those prices, but a lot of that volatility has at least been working in our favor here when it comes to selling corn and soybeans, that we are seeing some pricing opportunities that we haven't had in a while. Now, costs are going up. In this case, what I've got for you with that big black line there with 440 on the left and 1115 on the right-hand side, those are our estimates of the 2026 production cost estimates that we created in January, that we're above those levels. And so if you were able to lock in a lot of your input cost very early in the year, or especially with fertilizer, if you were locked it in last fall, you're in a really good spot right now in terms of pricing. On the other hand, we know those costs have gone up as well as we've moved through 2026. And so hopefully these rallies that we've been seeing here are giving you opportunities to get above break even and take advantage of those opportunities.
It's Agriculture Today.
On demanding job sites, you need equipment that works as hard as your crew. The Wiley Express Water Wagon is built for construction, industrial, and municipal use, delivering dependable water application for dust abatement, fire protection, and fresh water supply. The Express Water Wagon helps keep your operations safe, compliant, and productive. The Wiley Express Water Wagon, built for the toughest jobs on the ground. Trust Wiley Sprayers, proudly built in Texas. Visit us online at WileySprayers.com.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688.
There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.